Well, good morning, Kairos. Welcome back. Welcome if it's your first time. Last year, we got to celebrate our 4 years together as a church. As you can see, it was a lot of fun. We just appreciate you guys celebrating with us. Here's what we're going to do. Before I get into my message today and my sermon, I wanted to take a moment to read over some prayers and praises from the last week and encourage you right now and throughout the rest of the service to fill out one of our prayer and praise cards. These are really, really important to us. They're front and back, so if you have a specific prayer that you want us to pray with you and for you, or you need support in something, write that down. Or if, man, God has been good, God has done something amazing in your life, or you just have a win you want to share, we also want to celebrate with you, so we'd encourage you to fill out the praises as well. So I want to read some of these from last week, and I think coming off of our four-year, I just wanted to share some of the praises of how God is working and moving in people's lives through our church, through our community. So here's the first one. It says, I'm so grateful for the Thursday morning women's group, which has given me the opportunity to connect with other women who have had a hunger and a thirst for God's presence. If you don't know him, our youth director, Zach Varney, he was here last week and he's been coming for a little bit. He had to move back home, but last week he had prayers about a job that he was really, really excited about and just praying about the interview. And I'm happy to share that his prayer is already a praise because he got the job already. So that's fantastic. Another praise, Saturday morning men's group. The Christian men that, just a praise for the Christian men to grow with, reflect from, and to do life together with. I'm praising God for the community of Kairos. The prayer team and pastoral staff have blessed me with amazing support. For families stepping up to bless my family with meals when we were ill and grieving. Church family showing up. Praises for our Kairos church family. I was so blessed who blessed me so much when I was sick. Praise. 2021 was a year of first for me. Being a newlywed, first time relocating from my home state of Texas, but from the first time I stepped in Kairos, I felt like I had a true new home in Florida, and I just want to rain down all the praises on the Kairos membership, my small group, Tracy Hanna, for extending open arms to me and making me feel welcomed. Last praise, joined a women's small group and reconnected to my church family again, and our daughter joined youth ministry. These praises are so important because what is it highlighting? It's highlighting community. It's highlighting the fact that I think for a year we were isolated and separated, and we got it back and we realized how much we needed it. So if anything, I hope that these praises encourage you. They're already encouraging so many who have entered into community in different ways, whether it's through serving or through groups or getting their teens to movement, whatever it may be. I would encourage you, get connected. Get connected with the other believers that are here. Get connected with this body of Christ, and I guarantee you God will fill you up. I want to give you just a few seconds now to go ahead and fill out a prayer and praise card. And say a prayer for the kids ministry. Before I pray, you guys can keep writing these things down. There was one more on here that I absolutely loved. It's just a praise here. Praise for Chris Hanna, who was just out here, for Pastor Brent, and for another member of our church named Will. And the many times they stepped up as a father for my son Daniel, as mentors and car problems and teenagers issues, etc. And I love that. And that's one of the things I shared last week, just about having this extended family come alongside our kids. It means so much. And we want to be that for you. Would you guys join me in prayer? God, we are beyond thankful for your church, for what your son Jesus came here to establish, his bride. And I'm thankful to be a part of this community. Thank you for sending the people to do life with together that care, that encourage, that reach out, that support, that go above and beyond. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of those people who are engaging in that. Thank you for drawing people back into you through your word, through your spirit, through prayer, through the church. God, for those that are here struggling, I pray, God, that they would feel your love, number one, feel your presence, but that they would also be reminded that they are surrounded by a room of people who would want nothing more than to just come alongside them in whatever they're going through. So God, we lift our prayers up to you. We come before you humbled, knowing we can't do this alone, that we shouldn't do this alone, that we need you first and foremost, and that we also need one another. God, allow us to be a church that comes together in prayer and support and worship in every moment of our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right, I got to flip my hat around now because it's preaching time, right? That's what I got to do. Also, so you can see my face. Okay, we're gonna get into something fun today. You're probably like, what tetherball? What's going on there? We'll get into that in just a minute. So quick question. How many of you guys have ever felt smacked around by life? Anyone ever felt smacked around by life? If no one's raising their hand around you, just reach over and smack them, and then they can raise their hand too. Well, how about this? How many of you guys have felt really, really smacked around in the last year and a half? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the reality. It's like, you know, 2020 rolled up, and we had all these plans, and we had all these things, and 2020 was like, that's cute. See you later, right? And just smacked us around. And that's what took place. A few weeks ago, I was doing it was like a daily devotional that goes along with our Saturday morning men's group. And this is probably almost 4 weeks now. And there was one little portion within that devotional where it talked about your spiritual markers. And the whole premise of it was, if you're not sure where God is leading, if you're not sure what God is doing, go back and see what God has already done. And it was like, you know, you go through this activity and look through spiritual markers. Look at your life and really see where God showed up every step along the way. So I go through this whole thing and I'm looking through my life. And I'm gonna share some of that with you in a minute. And I get to the end of it, and I like have like two full pages of just like stupid stuff that I've done and ways in which God has drawn me in and all that stuff. And I just see this back and forth going on. And what came to mind in that moment was a cosmic game of tetherball. Now, we have any professional tetherball players out there? No one. Yeah. we got a few. Anyone played tetherball in the last year? Yeah, it's because we had it at my house. Okay, anyone played tetherball in the last 5 years? All right, 6 years, 10 years, last 20 years. Raise your hand if you've never played tetherball before. I'm so sorry. We'll play afterwards, okay? Come over here, let me just destroy you. What's so interesting about that is like, you know, tetherball's a cool game, but it's not one that you see a lot. It's not one that you're playing a lot, and I get to this moment, I'm like, what is this? Like, why tetherball? And the only thing I could go back to was Napoleon Dynamite. Anyone ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? Yeah. Reach over and smack someone who hasn't seen Napoleon Dynamite. Y'all, man, I'm sorry about your child, because Napoleon Dynamite is one of the greatest movies of all time. I'm kidding. I can't even say that sentence, because really, it's not the greatest of movies. It's really dry, it's really slow, but it is also hilarious. Anyway, in that, he plays tetherball, and I think that was the only thing that came to mind is watching Napoleon just destroy some girl. Anyway, in tetherball. So it's this game. So I want to tell you kind of what God gave to me in this, and then I'm gonna outline it through my life. And so here's the vision that I got. God is the pole, is the foundation. That's it. It's what we are tethered to. And so, and then we got how we're tethered, and the tether itself, this line here, well, that's Jesus. And so, listen, I know that, like, here's what I want to say about my illustration. every human attempt to try to display God is a crude attempt, and it's never going to be enough. But so, don't look too theologically into my illustration, okay? Because you'll be like, I don't know, because I mean, like, is this really God? Because it doesn't. So don't look too much into it, okay? So, God foundation, He's the base, He's solid. Not this so much, but God is, okay? And we have the line, and it's the tether, and then the ball represents you and I. I gotta move this because I'm gonna hit this thing and smack myself right in the face. Okay, and then we have us, and so we are tethered to God through Jesus, and what tends to take place is there's a third part of the Trinity. His name's the Holy Spirit, and you know what the Holy Spirit comes along and does to us? Smacks us. But when He smacks us, guess what takes place? We begin to draw closer and closer and closer and closer, and He smacks us again and closer to God. You getting where I'm going with the illustration? Okay. Now what tends to happen is the Holy Spirit smacks this way, and we're like, no, and we smack back, and it almost got me. And then we get farther and farther away. Okay, and so that's where we're going with this. You have all of it. You have the Holy Spirit's the hand, and you got Jesus, and you got God, and that's what we're going with. And so kind of what I saw there is, like, within my life, I realized that there were some Holy Spirit smack marks that were going on in my life. Turn to someone and say, you got any Holy Spirit smack marks? Do it. I know it's awkward. Tell me about your Holy Spirit smack marks. So today, I want to kind of just showcase some of mine so you can see what I was talking about. Before I do, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for, just a time of worship, a time of prayer. Thank you for bringing us here today. You brought us here today to hear that worship, to have your word speak to us in some way, whether we're here in person or online. So I just pray right now, no matter what else is going on, no matter the stresses of life, no matter all the distractions that we have outside, God, that we would just focus in on what you want to say to us today. Allow your spirit to speak. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So my spiritual smack marks, we're going to go all the way back to seventh grade. And this is when I first showed up to youth ministry. I think I've said this before, but I had a girlfriend who invited me to go to church. I went for my girlfriend, and Jesus is like, I gotcha. And that's how that worked. And so I show up, and I hear the gospel presented, like, really honestly for the first time. And it was in that moment. I remember it distinctly. Like, I remember God, like, just like, it was this revelation of who God is, of what God did, and how much I needed Him. And I was wrestling with that, at the end of the youth ministry, and my youth pastor, he took me home, and I remember giving my life to Jesus in the church van outside my house, and it was amazing. And so God, in that moment, He grabbed a hold of my life. And so it was the first spiritual smack, and it was this big one, right? And here's the thing, I don't want to miss this, because what I was looking like was this. I was deflated. I was untethered. I didn't realize it, but I wasn't living the life that God had for me, and there was a piece that I was missing, and I was just out there floating around. I was getting smacked around, and I wasn't tethered to God, and it was a big deal. But then I hear the message, and I respond to the message. God draws me in, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and just, He smacks me, right? And so I'm there, and I'm inviting my friends, and I'm telling them about church, and I'm serving, and I'm going on Sundays, and I'm going on Sunday nights, y'all. I'm even singing in the choir. Yeah, just think about that. And so, and the Holy Spirit, He's just, smacking me. I'm loving it. I'm going to camp, and I'm doing mission trips, and oh my goodness, oh, it was amazing. I loved every minute of it. There was this hunger and thirst and desire for God's word, even at that young age, just all of it, like, never hearing it before. And God was just really working on my life and on my heart, and it was awesome. And so this went probably all the way from seventh grade all the way about 10th or 11th grade. And so I'm there, and I'm drawing close. Here's the other thing I want to tell you about this. Holy Spirit, tetherball is kind of a quick game, and this going around and drawing close to God is going to happen a lot quicker than it does in our life, okay? So just keep that in mind as well. And so I'm drawing close to God. All this stuff is going on. And then I get to this moment in my life, and we probably all had these moments, where a sequence of events and multiple things happened that kind of halted. So, like, it was, I'm really horrible with time sometimes, but I think it was between 10th and about 12th grade where I lost three really close men in my life. The first one was my youth pastor. He went on to plant a church, and man, he was like a father figure to me. He's the guy who, you know, walked me through salvation in the van, and I mean, I got to spend time with his family, and just, man, I spent so much time with him. So I lost my youth pastor, I lost this father figure, and he went on, and it was a great thing that he went on to do, but I was really, really bitter about it. So I lost that, and then right after that, I had my best friend probably for about, you know, 5 years or so. His brother was murdered, and just through all of that, I kind of lost him. Like, he was in the faith, and he kind of walked away, and just we kind of parted ways. And so I lost youth pastor, father figure. I lost my best friend who I've had, and then cherry on top, I find out that my dad was, you know, had an adulterous relationship, and then he left as well. And so in this moment, I wouldn't say that I kind of got smacked backwards, but I definitely got smacked down. And like, I stopped drawing close to God, and I began to question certain things and began to wonder, you know, why is this going on? What is happening? And so I kind of just, I pushed away a little bit. And I stopped going to church, and I stopped reading my Bible, and I stopped surrounding myself with community, and I felt myself kind of just drifting away. There was a moment where, you know, I was kind of stale and stagnant and wasn't really pursuing, you know, my faith and my purpose in Christ. And the new youth pastor knew about my involvement in the church and knew about some things that went on. And she reached out and said, hey, you know, we're going to camp this year. I know you've been a part of that. Would you want to go? We have a spot for you. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. And so I went to camp. And so, you know, you go to camp and you get that high, right? And so it's like this moment where God's like, he's like, hey, I'm drawing you in and I'm bringing you back. And camp was great, and he did that for camp, but then I get back to the real world, and I kind of did the same thing, and I pushed away from it again. And that went on all the way through me graduating, and I remember after graduation, you know, I'm like 19, and, you know, just hanging out, being a goofball. I wasn't really doing anything with my life but playing video games. And we had heard about another youth ministry down the road, and we were too old to go, but we went anyway, so there's that. And we show up, and there's like, they have this big event, and they have all these cool things going on, and they bring in this guest speaker, and it, man, there was this moment where it got, man, just super spiritual, and like, everyone was up front, and man, just some amazing things were happening. And I remember that guy looking down at me, pointing at me, and saying to me, hey, you're going to be a prophet one day. And I kind of chuckled in my spirit. I'm like, okay, I don't even know what that means, right? And again, it's one of those moments where I felt God, he was drawing me back to him. But I wasn't, in that moment, I wasn't ready. And so I think that was like, hey, you're gonna do this, But after that, I decided to go the opposite direction. And here's where my smack, so the Holy Spirit smacked me this way. I came in and I really sent myself as, so like if I was, let's say I was really, I was kind of close, I had drawn in a little bit. Well, then after that, I just started getting into partying, drugs, and sex, and all that stuff. And so I drew further and further away from God. And as a matter of fact, I probably, for in my life, I was the farthest away from God that I had ever been. Because I was no longer pursuing the things of God, I was pursuing the things of the world. Here's the greatest thing about all of this, if you get nothing whatsoever, if you are tethered to Jesus, no matter how far away you pull, you'll always be tethered to God. You understand? And this is the greatest hope for me, because even though I got far away, he still had me. And he was still drawing. Yeah, I was being dumb and making some stupid choices. And in order to get back, he had to smack, you know, do some smacks. There had to be some conviction. And that took place. And so that's what I did. And I remember even being like, I went from being filled up with God's word and God's church and God's community to being deflated again. But I still had Jesus. And so that was awesome. And so that goes on. And I remember, you know, growing up a little bit after that, and I kind of pushed away from that lifestyle, and I did the things you're supposed to do when you get old, right? I went to college, and I got a good job, and I got married, and, you know, the world can look at that and say, you're doing it, you're doing great, but in the meantime, I was still as far away from God that I'd been. And so, the biggest thing in this time of my life was that It was just this, it wasn't the sin of, you know, the sex and the drugs and the party and all that, but it was the sin of selfishness. where really, honestly, all I cared about was myself, my time, what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it. And my selfishness manifested itself in an idol of playing video games, where that was what I did. I would go to work, I would come home, I'd play video games till like 3 a.m., I'd wake up, I'd go to work, I'd play video. I'm married. I have a newborn, and I'm still doing this. Go to work, come home, play video games, just selfishness, just, and I'm no longer am I studying God's word. I'm studying the word of how to be the best in a video game. And just the farthest away that I could possibly be. Not, you know, I could say I'm living the American dream, but inside I'm wasting away and I'm deflated. And so me and my wife, we tried a few churches, and it wasn't clicking. Again, it wasn't clicking because I was living in selfishness, and I had this other idol that I wasn't willing to give up for God. And I know God was just drawing, and he was doing these things. And so then God's like, okay, this is it. This is done. And so what he decides to do, and I was away a few weeks ago. I went to preach at my sending church, New Walk Church in Zephyr Hills. And so what God decided to do in this moment, we were living in Zephyr Hills, and God decides to plant a church in a YMCA that's literally right across the street from our sub-development. And we get this mailer in the mail, and my wife showed it to me, but I was probably playing video games and ignored it. And so God's like, fine, I'll send you another one. And I got another mailer. And my wife's like, look at the mailer. And I'm like, fine, I'll look at the mailer. And so I looked at the mailer. I'm like, okay, this looks cool. I like what I'm reading. I like what I'm seeing. I like that it's right across the street, because if we go and I don't like it, I'm out maybe, 6 minutes? We can just come back. I can play video games again. Honestly, these are the things that are going through my mind. Like, and I had this thing with church and feeling judged, and like, I went in with this, like, I'm going to do everything I can for these people to judge me so I can leave, okay? But man, I show up to New Walk, and God, again, it's one of those moments God goes, I gotcha. I've been doing this for a while, now I've drawn you in. And I get in there, man, and just the worship and the presence of God and the word, and man, it didn't take long. And again, this felt like the first one where God just came in. He's like, you ready? It's time. And he just comes in and smacks me again and starts drawing me in. And I'm going to groups, and I'm serving using my gifts and talents, and I'm giving, and I'm doing all this stuff. And I get a job, and I start serving in youth ministry. And God just grabbed a hold of my heart. And I look at it, God smacked me so hard because I had to make up for lost time. Now listen, God, that's not how God works. God knew all of it. But I'm looking at him like, God, why'd you hit me so hard, right? And I'm like holding on for dear life because of all the things that he's doing. He's like, well, I was trying to prepare you for this like 6 years ago, but you were being, you know, dim-witted and doing your own thing. And so God's just smacking me, right? And just going. And it's this amazing thing. And I step into youth ministry and I get ordained, and we're living out there, and it's, man, it's just amazing things going on, and I'm serving at this church and worshiping at this church and working at this church 9 years, and I loved every minute of it. And then God called me, he smacked me again, hey, I want you to plant a church, and then now we're here, we're at Kairos. But I want you to, oh, this is the coolest thing about stepping into youth ministry, and I missed this one. Stepping into youth ministry and preaching, I remember there was a time when I was serving in youth ministry, but I was mostly on staff there for the tech design, graphic design, all that stuff. My background was tech work, and so I'm back there doing tech work, and I go to this three-day retreat, and then I hear God speak so clearly and so loudly to me. He says, I want you to preach my word. And I'm like, okay. And I remember wrestling with that for a while and saying, no, I don't think I'm equipped. I don't think I can. I don't have what it takes. And God's like, I want you to preach my word. And it's like in this moment where I realize that I go all the way back, and I had forgotten this, but I go all the way back to when I was 19, and that man said, you're going to be a prophet. And then 10 years later, God says it again, I want you to preach my word. And it was one of those moments where I had to say, okay, God. And it was like, again, it was one of those smacks where God smacked me in, and then I enter into it, and God uses me in spite of me. And it's been amazing. But do you see this game going on where, man, God, he comes in, the Spirit convicts us, and he draws us, and sometimes we push back. And I remember that time when God said, I want you to preach my word, and he's like, boop, and I'm like, whoa, you know, we smack back, and we're like, and there's like this, you're going to lose every time on that. Anyway, and so, man, it's just this back and forth But the most important thing about all this, and I want all of us to understand, is that no matter your failures, no matter your mistakes, no matter bad choices you make, God is always drawing you back to him. And don't give up on that. Don't think to yourself, oh my goodness, I am so far gone that God can never draw me back. And this is where I go before. If you are tethered to Jesus, you are never too far gone for God to draw you back, and he will. And it may take some time, and it may not go the way that you wanted it to go, and there may be some things that you don't fully understand, but he will draw you back to him. And so that's the big thing. No matter the direction we take, God is always drawing us back to him. Think about this in, that's my story, but I was thinking about this in the Bible, and think about the apostle Peter, right? And if you know Peter's story, man, this dude, he was kind of bold and dumb, and that's the reality. Like, he was like, yeah, we're going to do this, and Jesus is like, come on, Peter, don't be dumb again. You know, Jesus would never say that to Peter, by the way. But anyway, I mean, he did call him Satan that one time. We'll get to that. But Peter, you know, so we show up in Peter's life, and what's Peter? Peter's a fisherman, right? And Jesus shows up, and he's like, hey, man, I want you to be a fisher of what? Of men, and just starts drawing him into God, right? And then Peter's like, oh, this is so amazing. I got a rabbi. I'm going to follow him and the Messiah, and he's going to, you know, take over the Romans, and he's got kind of the wrong mentality of what the Messiah is. But anyway, he's full on, right? And then there's a moment later where Jesus is walking on water out towards them, and Peter's like, oh, my goodness, look, he's walking on water. I can do that too, right? And he steps out of the boat. And then he starts looking at the wind and the waves and kind of his fear and his doubt, all that stuff. And he falls and he starts drowning. He's like, Jesus, save me. And Jesus saves him, right? And so you got this back and forth with Peter. And then there's this other conversation where that's going down. And Peter's, Jesus asks the question, who do you say I am? And Peter's like, you're the Messiah, right? And Jesus is like, yes, you got it right. Now that you understand who I am, I need you to know that, man, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be put to death. And Peter has the gall. Like, he's like, yeah, you're the Messiah. And it's like, good job, Peter. And then Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, no, I can't allow that, Jesus. I can't allow you to be killed. And then Jesus comes in and is like, boop, get behind me, Satan, right? Anyway, and so you have this ebb and flow. And in Peter's life, it's so wild because then you get to the garden, right? And you spend 3 years with Jesus and seeing all these things and kind of understanding a little bit about what's going on. And Jesus in the Last Supper is talking, and he's like, man, some of y'all deny me. And what's Peter say? Not me. I'll never deny you. I'll die for you, right? And he's like, I'm the best there ever was. And Peter struggled with pride a little bit, right? And then Jesus says, actually, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. And then, you know, Peter has this, and then the Holy Spirit comes in, and there's this moment where Peter denies Jesus 3 times, and, you know, he realizes just how much he had it wrong and how much pride he had. But in that moment, Jesus kind of broke him down, and the Holy Spirit revealed some things. And this is the best part of the story, is Jesus, he dies on the cross, he's buried, he resurrects, he comes back, and there's this moment where he goes out to the beach, and Peter's out fishing again. Jesus calls him in, and they start eating, and Jesus says to him 3 times, do you love me? Peter says, yes, feed my sheep. 1 time, do you love me? Peter says, yes, feed my sheep. 2 times, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. And though he denied him 3 times, Christ came back and reaffirmed him 3 times. And Peter went on from that moment, and you get to Pentecost. And you get to him preaching and thousands of people and the Holy Spirit coming down and thousands of people coming to know Christ. And then you have the movement of the church and then just this whole thing where God just drew Peter in, and there was some back and forth. And this is what takes place in our lives. And for Peter, there was failure, there were mistakes, there were things that he thought were right that ended up being wrong. But no matter what, God drew him back for his purposes. So even in failure, God draws us back and he's given glory. But there are some times, well, maybe it's not failure, maybe it's not mistakes, but there are times when we experience maybe a change of direction, like we thought we were going this way, but that wasn't the right way, or things aren't happening in the time that we want or the way that we want. And, you know, we experienced this as a church. You know, we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. We experienced this back in the beginning of 2020, end of 2019. We had, when we were meeting over at Channel Lakes Elementary, we had gotten to a place where we were running two services over there. We had just hit past this 300 barrier that we had been trying to hit for a while, and there was just this momentum, and we were doing, you know, people were coming in and getting saved and getting baptized and moment makers and all this stuff. And then 2020 comes in, and COVID happens. And we go from, man, just seeing this amazing growth, and we're like, man, this is the wreck, this is going to be amazing. And then we go to being, like, homeless in a matter of weeks because the school shut down, and we didn't have anywhere to meet, and we had to go online. And there's this season probably of 2 or 3 months where we weren't sure if we were ever going to get back to normal and what God was doing and why. You know, you begin to question, why is this happening now? And I go all the way back to when we launched. And our launch day was, I think it was September 16th of 2017. That was the day that Irma came in, like on our launch day. And you look at something like that and you go, why is this happening? Like, you have these plans and you have in your mind how things are going to go. And something comes along and kind of like halts you from going forward and tries to repurpose the way that you're thinking or what you're doing. And that takes place. And you've probably experienced this, definitely in the last year and a half. And maybe it was the direction of job, or maybe it was relationships, maybe it was the loss of relationship, maybe it was spoiled plans, maybe it was sickness. But we experience this in our lives where, man, things are going a certain way, and we think, man, this is going to be, we're going to go to this thing, and it's going to happen, it's going to be amazing. And then something comes along and kind of stops us and repositions us and changes us and has us kind of gain perspective on what's going on in our life. And in those moments, we get frustrated. We begin to ask questions. We get upset. We get impatient. We question the whys and the what-ifs. And we've all done it, and it's understandable. But here's the biggest part about that in those moments, when you experience a change of direction or, God doing things the way that God wants to do, and it's not happening in your timing, you've got to begin to look at what God's doing from God's perspective and not yours. And that's the biggest thing, because we don't get to see it. God knows the game. God knows how the game ends. God knows every hit. God knows everything about how this game is going to go. He knows. You don't. And so in those moments, when you get to those places where you question the what ifs and why, and I thought this, and man, don't question, is God working? Change your perspective to say, God, however you're working, I want to join you in that, and not the other way around. God, join me in my work. Join me in what I thought I was supposed to do. And that's what we tend to do. It's like, God, I want to go this way. Will you come with me? And God's like, listen, I love you and I love your passion. This is Peter. I love you and I love your passion, but that's not the way I want to go. That's not the way I want to work. I want you to join me in what I'm doing. So come alongside me and let me work in your life. He's seen it. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows how it's going to play out. He knows how it's going to not only affect you, but affect the people around you, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, people that come to church for the first time. He's orchestrating everything for his plan, for his glory, not yours. This is what Romans 5, 3 and 4 says. We also rejoice in our afflictions because we know that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. We go through these things, and we go through these hits, and we go through these smacks, and we go through these failures, and we go through these mistakes, and it's enough to want to give up, but we always have the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. And he's producing within us endurance and character and hope. And whether he speeds you up, right, and you're just hanging on for dear life, and you're like, God, I'm so glad I get to be a part of this, but I don't know what I'm doing, but just take me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are those moments when you're like, I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, I don't know what's going on, but God, I trust you, I believe in you, so just let's go, right? And then there are moments when he slows you down. And in the slow down and the speed up, you endure and you seek God and you obey and you adjust to his leading. But oftentimes, especially when, man, God is pulling us along and there's some amazing kingdom work happening, we get so excited and we get so zealous and we get just, super inflated that we take the way that God was going and we deviate to our plans again. And I think sometimes when we deviate to our plans again, God has to come in and say, listen, you were with me, you were following me, but you took my plan and you made it into something that it wasn't supposed to be. So now I gotta course correct. And that takes place in our lives. But oftentimes when God's going this way and we go, you know what, God, we want to go this way, we make a mess of things, right? And we give ourselves glory and we get off track, and in order to get us back, man, we have to go through some things that we probably weren't going to go through in the first place. But we get outside of what God is trying to do. And we get outside of how God is trying to work, not only in our lives, but in the people around us. We get impatient and we ask all those questions. But no matter what, no matter the impatience, no matter, you know, if you failed in some point, no matter the setbacks, Jesus will never let us go. The Holy Spirit is always guiding. And the most important thing is God is always drawing us back to him. I love what John 5:17 says. It says, but Jesus responded to them, my father is still working, and I am also working. I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know if you feel like maybe God's not speaking or God's not moving or God's not working, but he is always working. Jesus is always working. So maybe in your life, it's not that he's not working. It's just that you're expecting him in the work the way that you want instead of looking at how he wants to work in your life. It's a change of perspective. There's hope. So here's what I'd say to you. You're going through some stuff. Maybe you feel that you've experienced some failures, some setbacks, some mistakes. In those moments, don't ask why. Begin to ask what. What, God? What are you doing? What are you trying to teach me? What are you preparing me for? What are you trying to do in my life and the lives of people around me? James 1, 2, and 4 says this. Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. We go through some of these moments and we endure, and God wants to mature us so that we are ready and prepared for what he has for us next. And so this is the crucial part. I talked about it in the beginning. The most crucial part about these smack marks is that we can look back and see what God has already done so that we can understand what God is doing now. Because he is a God who has proven himself time and time again. He's shown up in your life. And while you're going through it, it's really hard to understand it because we don't see the big picture. We just see what we're going through now. But you can look back and say, you know what? God was here, and God was showing up here, and God saved me from that, and God rescued me from that. I didn't like some of it. I resisted some of it, but now I understand that God was weaving and drawing and leading me and drawing me back to him. God is a God who will always show up. We just got to look back to see where he's shown up before. And so these markers are reminders of how God has already worked and that he's continuing to work in your lives. So we go back to Kairos. We were in the school and we have this, 300 barrier, and we're doing all these amazing things. And you get to this moment where you're like, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why'd you call us here just to pull us out of this place? To send us into something that we don't fully understand? And then 6 months later, we end up in our own building, right? Opening a coffee shop, partnering with Echo to open an Echo shop. And being able to do things that we never thought we would be able to do in the school. And this is just a small reminder of like, listen, you don't fully understand what you're going through now, but I guarantee you, if you will trust and obey and adjust your life to God, he will do some amazing things through it. And you get to be a part of it. And you get to see, and you get to go back and say, God, you know what? My plans were dumb because your plans were so much greater. Like, I didn't even realize what you had in store for 2020. I thought it was going to be this, and you said, you know what? I love that, and I love that you thought that, but man, my plan was like this, and it was one I didn't see. It was one I didn't understand, and I began to question it in the midst of all of it and almost give up and say, God, I've put in too much time and too much work. It's been too hard, and God's like, if you will just endure, if you will persevere, if you will draw closer to me, man, let me show you some of the amazing things that not only that I want to do in you, but also through you, and around you. And that's what God does. John 15:16. I love this verse. It says this: you have not chosen me. And this is God saying, you've not chosen God. He says, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you. Now just think about that. Through our story of Kairos and where and how and when, God brought us to where he brought us, when he brought us, to the places that he wanted us to go, in the seasons that he wanted us to do, for a very specific purpose. You are here right now. You came to Kairos for the first time, the second time. Maybe this is, you've been here for 6 months. Maybe you've been here for a year. God has appointed you and purposefully planted you here now. The things that you're going through, the things that you're struggling with, the things that you're experiencing blessing in, he's purposely planted you and purposed you for those things right now. He is working. And you may not fully understand it, but he is working because he has done it. And he says, I have done these things. I've appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I love that. Don't give up. Don't ask why. Start asking what. Well, God, what are you doing, and how can I join you in it? Now, this brings us back to you. I shared some of my spiritual smack marks. I would encourage you to do this. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you have some doubts. Maybe you have some fears. Maybe you have some questions. Whatever it may be, go back. Go all the way back to that first time that you encountered God. And then just start looking at it. Looking at what God was doing, looking at how God was working, looking at how he was orchestrating, looking at how he was drawing you back. Remember that no matter what, man, you got Jesus. No matter what takes place, no matter how far away you feel, he's got you. He's got you. And the world may push you around, and the world may come at you, and the enemy might lie to you, but he's still got you. He's still guiding you. He's still working. Three questions as I close. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes. First question is this, and really this is the most important one. Are you tethered? Do you have Jesus? Have you taken that step to fully surrender your life to Christ? When I think about this, and I think about, I'm so thankful that I found God and I found Jesus when I did. Because thinking about going through some of those moments that I went through, those dark moments and those bad choices and those bad decisions and just being smacked around without being tethered to God, I can't imagine how lost I would be without him. And so if you're here today and you feel that, feel like you're just lost and wondering, and you've tried all that the world has to offer. You've tried all their self-help. You've tried all the ways. You've tried all the things that the world says to do, but you still feel lost. It's because you can only be found through the way, the truth, and the life, and that is in Jesus Christ. So today, maybe it's your day to surrender your life and get tethered through Jesus to your maker and your creator and your sustainer. Take a moment right now to do that. The second thing that's really, really important as we get tethered and as we are drawn into God, we're called to draw near to him and he will draw near to us. And so I wonder if your life is inflated or deflated. Are you inflating through the word of God? We've been talking through this whole series about, man, going back to the truth and understanding the truth and applying the truth and reading the truth. And it's not just something that we can do once a week. It's something that we have to do every day. We have to fill up every day, because during the day, these little smacks, these little hits, they're going to come. And the enemy's going to come and your mind is going to lie to you. And so if you want to make sure that you can stand against those things, you got to be inflated and filled up with the word of God. I don't know what that looks like in your life. But the Bible is very clear that when we draw near to him, James 4:8, when we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Are you filling up with the word? Are you filling up with God's people? Are you filling up in worship? Are you filling up in group? Are you filling up in community? Are you filling up by serving and generosity? Man, we are called to fill up with the ways and the things that God has given us. Are you tethered? Are you filled up? And the third one is, are you obeying when the Holy Spirit comes along and smacks you and guides you? says this in John 16:13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so maybe, just maybe, in the last hour or in the last week or in the last few months, man, God has come along and the Spirit has come along and he has revealed something to you. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a change of direction. I don't know what it is. How are you resisting that? Are you resisting that? Are you saying and giving God these excuses, God, I'm not good enough. No, God, I'm too far gone. No, God, you can't use me. No, that's not the direction that I want. Can I just tell you, when he comes along, stop resisting the things that God is calling you to and how he wants to work through you. Because the more you resist, the harder it's going to be. But if you fully surrender and you fully obey and you give up and you turn away from maybe that sin that you're living in or that sin that you're rationalizing and you hand it over to him, God can say, okay, let's go. I have some work to do. I am working now and I want you to join me in it. How is the Holy Spirit convicting you? And have you been obedient to adjust your life to live for him? Are you tethered? Are you inflated? And are you obeying and following when the Holy Spirit comes along and reveals the truth in your life? God, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for showing me this in my life, reminding me that you've had me all along, especially in those moments when I forgot, or in those moments when I thought I had to come back in my own strength, or in my own wisdom. But you had me. And I pray that's a reminder for someone here today who maybe feels the furthest away from you that they've ever been. Let your word be a reminder that you are working and that Jesus still has them. God, I love you and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for just the ways you've worked and moved, the people you've brought into my life in different seasons. And I'm thankful for the ways that you are convicting me and challenging me and guiding me through your Spirit today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.